Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent.
Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Vero-Law.com. I'm Tani Alvarez, your host from Vero, and today we're talking about the four-day work week. While the way we work is constantly evolving from where we work, when we work, and how technology affects our work, one thing that seems to remain constant is the desire to work less, achieve more. Enter the four-day work week. While employees may still be working the same number of hours, 4 10-hour days versus 5 8-hour days, many organizations are finding that offering a four-day work week environment is leading to attraction of higher quality candidates, less turnover, and overall increases in production and quality of work. Our guest today is Biddeford, Maine Mayor Alan Cassavant. And today we're talking about the work that he has done to help the city of Biddeford successfully implement a four-day work week. Welcome, Alan, and thank you so much for joining us.
I'm glad to be here.
Well, first, I would love if you could give our listeners a little bit of history about you. What did you do prior to becoming mayor of Biddeford?
Well, I was a high school teacher. I taught at Biddeford High School for 35 years. I taught social studies, which included psychology and American studies and 20th century world history. Those were the core courses that I taught. In the early years of my teaching career, I actually served on the city council as well. I did that for 18 years, and then the city passed a charter change banning teachers from serving on the council. So I retired from that, and I ended up getting my master's at USM in New England and American Studies. Towards the end of my teaching career, let me backtrack a little bit. I had an injury to my ear, so I lost hearing in one of my ears. And so in a classroom, you can imagine, that is not a good thing to have because you don't know where sound comes from.
I can only imagine.
So it gets a little difficult. Even though the kids were great, it was really frustrating. So I decided to retire from teaching and run for mayor because in politics, having a deaf ear is actually a blessing in many cases. It works out really well. So I ran for mayor and I've been serving in that capacity. This is my 12th year. I also, part of the overlap was I was in the Maine legislature for 8 years as well. So I've kept busy in terms of public service.
That is, I think, a really helpful background. And one of the things that I find really kind of exciting about you and I have spoken before and in some of our previous discussions, the fact that you are coming at this from a multitude of different angles with background, both at the state legislature and then also from a teaching standpoint. We do, however, have some listeners who are outside of the state of Maine and who may not be familiar with Biddeford. Can you give listeners a sense as to the community that you serve and the number of employees maybe that Biddeford employs?
Biddeford is a coastal community right on the Atlantic Ocean. It's also on the Saco River. Its history mainly was in the textile industry. Pepperell Manufacturing for many years was a worldwide organization. In fact, I had relatives that served in the Philippines during World War II who were captured by the Japanese, and they represented Pepperell Manufacturing during that particular time. In the 1960s and 70s, of course, the mills went south, and that created some problems in Biddeford and many of the mill towns of Maine. Biddeford, in the past few years, has seen what we call the Biddesance. It's been a renaissance of sorts. You know, when I was growing up, Biddeford was the center of York County, which is the southernmost county in Maine. And I can remember going downtown and it was vibrant, a lot of people. And of course, part of the deal was that the mills were right there, and that was 10,000 people work in the core of the city. But with a number of recessions and the mills leaving and some other issues, The 1980s and the 90s were not exactly a good time period for the downtown. But what has happened in the last five, six, 7 years has been amazing. Biddeford has become a destination point. We are the youngest city in Maine, with the median age being 35 and 29 in the downtown. If you take me out of the equation, it sinks even lower. But we've had a lot of new shops, new restaurants, just a new vitality, and people actually boasting about living here, which is really a dramatic change, because for many years there was this loss of self-esteem, I guess I would call it. Biddeford kind of just sagged a lot because of a number of factors, but that's all been reborn. And what's happened is that with a lot of press in terms of the restaurants we have, nationwide press raving about this restaurant or that restaurant, we've seen people moving to Biddeford from places like New York and Massachusetts, and we've seen a population surge in Biddeford. So it's been really transformational. So it's been an exciting time to be here.
I think that all that information is really imperative and helpful for our listeners to understand the topic that we're going to be discussing today, which is the 4-day work week. So let's start with the 4-day work week. Like, what was the impetus that led to the change for Biddeford to even consider moving towards this concept?
Before COVID, it wasn't on anybody's radar. And then when COVID hit and we closed down City Hall for a number of weeks, we began to realize that, strangely enough, productivity was going up. People could do more without being disturbed. And so we kept that in the back of our minds. When COVID began to leave the public arena a little bit, we had some other issues in terms of hiring people and retaining people. And that's not just unique to Biddeford. It's pretty much statewide, and I guess one could argue even nationally. And that's problematic, because when you have good employees and you spend months or years training them, when you lose them, that's a huge loss. And, you know, there are people say, just replace them. Well, it's not that simple. And you lose things like productivity and historical understanding and knowledge and all those little factors that make a community better. We also found ourselves competing with the private sector. The private sector is seeing the same types of issues in terms of trying to find employees and job retention. We're suddenly bumping up the rates. I mean, for example, if you drive down Route 1 in Biddeford today, or Route 111 or whatever, you see fast food restaurants, you know, saying $16, $17, $18, $19 an hour. You know, it's like, that's a big change. So if we're going to be competing with the private sector, that's a problem, because in the public sector, we are dependent on the tax base, the people who pay the taxes. And so when you start raising rates and driving up the mill rate, that becomes a problem. So it was really, really clear to all of us that we simply couldn't compete and throw money at the problem. And so that was the first awakening that we saw. Then there was a second awakening, and that was when we saw other communities beginning to throw money in order to try to attract people. You know, because again, whether it was police or fire or public works or just staffing of City Hall, there's been a shortage in Maine. And so many, many communities have decided to raise the hourly rate and pay bonuses.
You know, these are all really interesting aspects. And one of the things that I think that definitely probably hits home for a lot of individuals is that idea or concept of, you know, you're a city, you can't raise your prices because you taxes are set. Taxes may go up at some point, but it's not like you as mayor can simply say now they're going up because we have to pay people more, which definitely puts kind of cities, other municipalities at a disadvantage. For those of you who may just be joining us, you're listening to the HR Power Hour radio show. I'm your host, Tawny Alvarez, and our guest today is Biddeford, Maine Mayor Alan Cassavant, and today we're talking about the work that he's done to help the city of Biddeford successfully implement a four-day work week and takeaways that other organizations can consider based on his experiences. Now, Alan, you know, you have this issue that you've identified where you need to attract and retain people. And also, you're up against hourly wages that are skyrocketing both in the private sector and then also in competing public sector organizations. What is the first step that the city took to try to understand what can we do to attract and retain people to stay or to come and work for the city of Biddeford?
Well, leadership staff got together to just brainstorm what they were seeing and observing. And clearly, COVID changed the philosophy of people in terms of what they wanted to do for work. Working at home opened the eyes of many. And I think, as being part of the administrative staff, we began to recognize that. So understanding that just throwing money at the problem wasn't going to work. And it wasn't sustainable because, again, if you look statewide, if community X says, oh, we're going to raise the hourly rate by $5 an hour, and the neighboring community says, oh, my God, we can't afford that because we're going to lose people. Let's do it $6. I mean, there's a ripple effect that takes place. And the same with bonuses. I mean, it doesn't work. So what else could we do to improve morale, make people feel wanted? And so senior staff began to reach out to others within the building saying, well, what is it that you need? And one of the things that began to emerge was this idea of a four-day work week. Because people, again, and I caught something on one of the local news stations towards the end about people talking over and over again about quality of life, that they wanted that now. And the four-day work week allows people to be able to spend more time doing whatever they like or spending time with their families, whatever. And so we decided at that juncture, after input from staff, well, let's experiment. Let's give it a shot, see how it works. But of course, change is not easy.
For any organization, it's good to know that for the public sector, it's no easier than it is for the private sector.
Well, yeah, because again, all decisions like that, unlike a corporation or something, it's all public. So you have to present it to the public at a council meeting or board meeting or whatever, and then you have to be able to explain it. And naturally, there's going to be pushback, including from counselors, because it's not the way that things are normally done.
And with that, I think we're going to take a really quick break. And then I want to jump into how we responded, how you and the city responded to concerns that may have been voiced both from the public and from counselors regarding transitioning to a four-day work week. So we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com. We'll be right back.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
With the legislative landscape consistently evolving, business owners and HR managers face increased challenges running their business. Whether it be earned paid leave in your state, those retirement savings programs that are popping up around the country, or dealing with paid family medical leave, Paper Trails is here to help your business be compliant. Paper Trails consists of a team of fun and local experts purveying convenient, high-tech payroll and compliance services across New England. At Paper Trails, there's no 1-800 number, and they strive to treat their clients like neighbors because they are. When a question or need arises, Paper Trails is right around the corner. Whether you're looking for accurate payroll and bookkeeping, assistance with local and federal compliance challenges, or additional services like benefit administration and employee onboarding, Paper Trails has the tools necessary to allow you to handle the work while they handle the paperwork. Visit papertrails.com/HR Power Hour to learn more.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour radio show. I'm your host, Tawny Alvarez, and our guest today is Biddeford Mayor Alan Casavant, and today we're talking about the work that he has done to help the city of Biddeford successfully implement a 4-day work week and takeaways that other organizations can consider based off of these experiences. Now, Alan, prior to the break, we had just begun our discussion about, as a public entity, it wasn't just like you as mayor can say, this is what we're going to do, but instead open forum, discussion with counselors, discussion with the public. Talk to me a little bit about some of the concerns that were vocalized either from counselors or from the public concerning a movement to a 4-day work week. Because I, in my mind, can imagine some of the ones that may have come up. But tell me a little bit about what you heard from individuals in the organization and the public.
You have to first understand that anyone in public service, especially at the local level, is always concerned about availability and delivery of service. And so as far back as I can remember, there's always been discussion about, you know, how much access do people have to city staff to resolve issues. For example, I remember discussions talking about, well, we should be open on Saturday, you know, Saturday mornings to give people a chance to come in, which never really, I mean, there was some experiments with it, but then we found that nobody really came in on Saturdays because they had other things to do. But there's always been that background that we have to be open, that we have to be visible. And so when we started talking about the 4-day work week, councils began to say, well, wait a minute, how's this going to work? You know, people should have access. Those that are going to work, there should be somebody there when they come home or whatever it happens to be. And so we had some discussion about that. And it was pointed out, for example, that, you know, a lot of things in the city clerk's office or the city building can be done online today. You know, for example, even though I'm in City Hall all the time, I'll register my car online. It's just so much more convenient. A lot of people are more traditional. They want to do it, you know, go in and do it. But the reality is that, you know, the world's changed and there's so much more accessibility, you know, via the computer. So we had that type of debate. And there was other concerns about, well, you got to understand that in City Hall, it's not quite a 40-hour work week. I think it's something like 36 hours, though they get paid for 40. And there are other little things that I should inject as well, because even with staff, there were some problems with the idea of a 40-hour work week because certain members had issues that we're going to make things worse. Maybe a single mom that has kids and has to have the kid at the bus stop at 8 o'clock in the morning or whatever it happens to be. So the city manager, Jim Bennett, who was the leader in all this, he came up with the idea, well, let's work with them. So, you know, even though there's a structure for a 4-day work week, there are some staff members in City Hall that have adjusted hours or they can work at home for a certain amount of time as well so that they could keep their home obligations going as well. And again, if you remember what I said at the very beginning, the key to all this is the value of employees. I mean, in any business or in any city government, You're only as good as your employees. They are the gold nuggets, at least from my perspective, in terms of delivery of services to people. It's not city councilors, it's certainly not this mayor. You know, we can talk a lot probably, but the idea of delivery of services actually comes down to staff and what we usually see, the more creative ideas or the reality of those ideas are also generated by staff. And we got this great staff, so it's not like we want to lose them. So we were debating all of this in terms of, oh my God, accessibility, they should be open Saturday, the whole routine. And I pointed out, and others pointed out, this is an experiment. Let's see how it works. You know, we're, you know, I've always found in my life that whenever there's a huge change, people in opposition always go worst scenario. You know, I remember in Maine, for example, when they banned smoking in restaurants. Oh my God, restaurants are going to close, all this other stuff. And what happened? More people went to restaurants, just the opposite of what the people said. So I said, let's just kind of kick back and see how it works. And so the end result was, it's been fantastic.
And it's interesting because, you know, earlier in the program, you mentioned as well, kind of COVID. And when you talk about this perception of visibility, I think we hear that from a lot of entities, both public and private, about the need for employees to be visible so that work is being done. And I think you've evidenced understanding both by the public and the public body that's overseeing the city, this concept or idea that work can occur in different locations, it can occur at home, and we can make it work for individuals based off of their specific circumstances. Now, anytime that we're talking about making it work, I think there's a lot of people in HR who are saying to themselves, well, wait a second, do we have like a policy or a standard that we create to start this off? And when you started the test run, did you have a policy or other guiding document about either what the rules were going to be or what this would look like for an implementation standpoint?
Yes, the city manager hammered out everything in terms of expectations and hours, and then he reviewed that with city staff to make sure that everybody was on the same page. City hall staff are not unionized. And so the negotiations were pretty much, you know, face-to-face and so forth. I should add that since that initial experiment went into effect, Public Works has also gone to a four-day work week. Now, that's a unionized shop. And so that's a little bit more tricky because now you have to negotiate in order to get things into the language, because everything is defined within their contract in terms of number of hours, when to take breaks, you know, the whole routine. And so that was a parallel track. But before, it's really critical that if you're going to do something like this, that you have the language needed to make it succeed, because if it's not appropriate or it hasn't been vetted, it's not going to work at all.
So we talked a little bit about the impetus of the four-day work week, really for attracting individuals, especially with different rates of pay that were flowing out there. I'd like to focus a little bit more attention on the retaining aspect of it. You had mentioned, you know, employee loss and the loss of knowledge that we can experience when we have either longstanding employees who are leaving or newer employees who leave, and then there's the training costs associated with that. What's your understanding as to how this has helped to retain current staff, which I think for a lot of individuals is hard to track or specifically verbalize, but do you have any understanding as to, you know, how this has helped with retention?
The morale and attitudes within City Hall have been dramatically changed. People are laughing more. They're more engaged. They feel, or from my perception, they seem to be more relaxed. I make it a point to ask them how they like the four-day work week. Everybody says we really like it. I mean, it's something about coming to work Thursday, recognizing that, you know, you got Friday off. I mean, as mayor, I get Friday off. And the only downside is I keep thinking Friday, Saturday, and Saturday, Sunday, because I'm still in my head thinking 5-day work week. So I'm all messed up when Sunday comes along. But people are enthusiastic in terms of that. I talked to the public works director, and he was saying that his conversations with staff is that they really like just working their four-day work week. And the productivity has surged because they're there longer and they can get more jobs done in the defined amount of time. So in terms of retention, yeah, we've lost some people, but not because of job issues per se, but because of other things that happen at, you know, in the normal course of life.
So there's been a number of pieces of legislation that have been put forth or that are currently pending, both at state levels and at federal. And specifically, if we look at Maryland, there's a piece of legislation that's pending that would provide tax breaks for both public and private entities that change over to a four-day work week. And then there's a piece of legislation pending at the federal level that proposes a change to a 32-hour work week, where there's 4 days of work with only 32 hours, as opposed to some of the other states that are considering, hey, a normal work week would still be 40 hours. It would just be set up in 4 weeks. Now, did the city of Biddeford change it so that there was a decrease in the number of hours worked, or the same number of hours being worked by employees just over a four-day week as opposed to a five?
In the city clerk's office, there's actually a decrease. It's gone back to about 36 hours. So, for example, the city clerks, they work Monday and Tuesday from 7 o'clock to 5 o'clock, with, of course, there's a lunch hour built into that as well. On Wednesdays and Thursdays, they work 8 to 4. Okay, so there's a little variation. For public works, they work 6:30 to 4:30. Okay, again, with lunch and breaks and so on and so forth. The recycling center, which is also on the four-day work week, they're part of public works, but it's a little bit different because A, they're very visible with the public. B, the public loves the recycling center because that's where they get rid of all their broken limbs and debris. Like, for example, me having to haul 4 truckloads of that stuff out over the past week. You know, yeah, Mr. Chainsaw right here. A lot of fun. But because of that, we had to negotiate with the union to get some stuff with them. And so what we came up with is they're now available 4 days, 7 to 4:45. And what we found is that in terms of availability to the public, there's more hours, even though the hours of opening seems to have been shrunk. So even though it's 4 days, there's more available hours the way we've done it. So I think if you look at the hours, we've diminished them, but as I noted earlier, the productivity is there. They're still cranking out the amount of work that they've always been able to do. I should note, though, in terms of, you know, when you start looking at other things, when you look at police and fire, 4 day work week's more problematic there because they're on 24/7. So there's no real magic thing with them so much, but you know, with the other departments, it's worked out pretty well.
No, that's really helpful, especially kind of hearing the increase in morale because, you know, some people might be thinking, well, I'm asking people to do the same amount of work just in less time or in a more condensed area. So is it really a positive for their experience? And it sounds like in your experience, it truly has been something that people have appreciated and that has helped from an operational standpoint. If we return back to the attracting standpoint, have you found that it's increased your ability to have a leg up over competitors or other public entities where similarly situated people might, you know, either move from your district to another area or just ability to attract and retain people who may otherwise go into the private sector?
Definitely. Biddeford is now a preferential community in which to work. And so, I mean, some of it's because of the 4 day work week, some of it's because simply that the public persona of the city has changed so much that people want to live here and want to work here. But what's happened is that in the last few months is that there are clearly people who have applied and come to work here. And when asked, they clearly say, well, I wanted the 4 day work week.
I think that nothing speaks like higher than that. The fact that in that interview, when you're saying why us or why do you want to work for us, the fact that you have individuals who are pointing that out, I think speaks volumes of the fact that this is something that the public is seeking, that they want, that it is good. You know, you mentioned the work-life balance aspect of it. And I think a lot of times people say, oh, that's just kind of a new generation and that's a generational desire. But it sounds like your experience is that, no, this is what, you know, a vast majority of the people who are coming to us are looking for.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so for example, we had a clerk's position that normally didn't get many people to apply. The last time we advertised for a clerk's position, we had over 300, had to shut it down because we had so many. And there were people who were experienced in doing that particular job. So it's just a complete change. I went to a Maine municipal convention in Bangor, I think it was in October. And we did a seminar about the 4-day work week and what how benefit has changed. And I remember looking out into the audience when I told them that story, and the eyes were this big, like, because they were saying, wait a minute, we can't find anybody to work. And I'm saying, yeah, we got 300.
Yeah, no, I can only imagine other cities and municipalities being like, wait a second, why didn't we have that kind of turnaround? So I think that that just speaks absolute volumes about how this is helping you all as a city, both attract and then also retain valued team members.
I was just going to add, though, is that we have to also be very observant about how things change in the workplace, because you can imagine the city manager has been very clear about this, is that other people are going to catch on that 4-day work week is pretty good. So then everybody's going to have a 4-day work week somewhere along the line of most. So what are you going to do for the next step in order to retain and attract?
I think that's a really important thing, you know, aspect of this dialogue is, you know, now that you're on the forefront and you're the change maker, understanding that as everyone else catches up and starts implementing a similar process, what else are you as a city going to do to remain on top and be the preferential employer? So very good point. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBRadio.com. We'll be right back.
Educational HR Radio is critical to your organization's success, and our sponsors understand the value this program brings to owners, C-suite professionals, and the HR community. We are honored and thank our sponsoring law firms of Verrill, Sheehan Finney, Jackson Lewis, and McLean Middleton. Our partner sponsors of Healthcare Purchase Alliance and Strategic HR. Want to be a sponsor of the HR Power Hour? Text 603-303-6124 and say, we want to be an HR Power Hour sponsor.
Hi, I'm Susan McVetty.
And I'm Pete McVetty from McVetty's Hearth and Home.
Is there a sale going on at the store right now?
No.
No Hearthstone, Quadrifier, Mendota, Wittes, Blaze King, or Morso sale?
No.
No Yodel, Vermont Castings, or Regency? Oh, there's always a Regency sale.
No.
You're telling me that out of the gazillions of wood, gas, and pellet stoves that we carry, there's not a single sale going on?
Nope.
Oh, what about patio furniture, awnings, grills, smokers, and aluminum docks?
No, just because there isn't a big sale going on doesn't mean that we're not having great deals and still doing free estimates for anyone needing a heating appliance.
Oh, well, good. Just let me know when we're having another sale.
Okay, there's always a bargain to be had if you are looking for one. And we don't need a new heating appliance.
Well, maybe my sister needs one, or my friend, or your sister.
Stop by McVetty's Hearth and Home at 893 Route 1 in Yarmouth, or check out our website at stovesofmaine.com for the latest information, including our sales.
Really? I have to check out the website? Really? And I can't believe Regency isn't having a sale.
As the list of compliance challenges for businesses continues to grow, it's time to think about your payroll vendor as someone that can do more than just pay your employees. I'm Chris Clef, president of Paper Trails. We're a team of fun and local experts purveying convenient, high-tech payroll and compliance services across New England. Whether your business is struggling to stay compliant with an earned paid leave law, you're worrying about retirement savings programs, or you have questions about your state's paid family medical leave, Paper Trails has the team and tools necessary to allow you to handle the work while we handle the paperwork. To learn more about Paper Trails and how we can help your business, visit papertrails.com/HRPowerHour.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, Tani Alvarez, and our guest today is Biddeford, Maine Mayor Alan Casavant. And today we're talking about the work that he's done to help the city of Biddeford successfully implement a four-day work week and the takeaways that other organizations can consider based off of his experiences. Now, Alan, I have to say, I commend you for coming on and agreeing to be a guest because I know that I'm asking you to give away some secret sauce related to your ability to attract and retain really high quality individuals. So first, I have to start with, you know, thank you for the information that you've provided already. It is an educational show, so I definitely appreciate both you as an educator coming on and then also in your role as mayor. But I'm going to ask you for a little bit more, right? I know we have listeners who right now are like, oh my gosh, I want to do what they're doing in Biddeford. For those listeners who kind of are at that point, who are saying, okay, what's my next step? If you could provide just four for the 4-day work week, 4 points that you think should be at top of mind for an HR professional when we're talking about 4-day work weeks, what would they be?
I think one would be to listen to your employees. The workplace world has changed dramatically. It's not what it was a year or two or three, 4 years ago. Totally different. And so when you're competing with other communities or other workplaces in terms of employees, you got to find something that makes them feel valued, appreciated, and comfortable. So, like I said earlier, we didn't expect a 4-day work week to be on anybody's mind, but that's what emerged, along with some other things in terms of the workplace habits or whatever. But by listening, that was the first key. The second step, of course, is foundational. Okay, if you're going to do that, you have to look towards, all right, how are we going to structure those hours? Is it going to be 4-10s? Is it going to be 4-8s? What are you going to do to satisfy the needs of your employees? And you got to also remember in terms of yourself, in terms of the productivity. What is it you need and how can you help? I would also say that it would be important to reach out to other communities that might be, or businesses that might be operating under this particular mode. I think that there's nothing unusual about it. I think that it's pretty standard, but yet there's some uniqueness that fits individual businesses and communities that just might be particular to your needs. So for example, as I said, in Biddeford, because we changed hours, it upended some of the private lifestyles, the family lifestyles of certain employees. So we could have said, oh, well, sorry, you know, either work 4 days or you got to go. That's not what we did. We created individual schedules to allow them to retain their personal life or their family obligations, whatever, because again, we looked at them as being assets. We wanted them to stay employed. So we tweaked it to fit that particular need, or we said, well, you can work at home a day or whatever it happens to be. Lastly, I think it's just a period of looking at, once you institute it, to look at, okay, how is this going to be tweaked? Is this working okay? And again, you go back to your employees to ask them specifically, you like this? Is it working for you? Any ideas what can make it better? Are there any other needs that you have? Because the whole idea, I think, in this new world of employee-employer relationships is that it's a worker's market. I mean, they hold all the cards for all practical purposes. So, okay, let's create a partnership. What we have our needs, but what do you need? And let's be partners in the delivery of services that the people out there, your customers, want.
You know, it's interesting because I very much appreciate the idea and concept of the evolution of the process and seeking feedback throughout the course of the process. One of the things that you mentioned earlier as well that I could foresee being something that assists other entities is the amount of stuff that's available online, the ways in which individuals can accomplish tasks remotely or have their needs met from a remote environment when in the past, and when I say past, you know, 10, 15 years ago, that would not have been able to occur. And I can see a lot of our listeners right now saying that's great for that entity or for that organization, but it would never work for us and what our needs are, just because we have to be accessible or we've promised our customers or clients or the public that we will be accessible. And I love the use of technology to say, listen, you can still do things on your timeline, right? You can do X, Y, and Z on your timeline, but there's other things that, like, if you want to be talking to a live person, it'll be on this timeline. Did you experience any people pushing back when things kind of went, I don't want to say automated, but my understanding is the two things weren't parallel, correct? You had already had in line some, the ability to do some tasks online prior to moving to a 4-day work week. Is that correct?
I expected more pushback, you know, especially after the public discussion at a council meeting. But to be honest, I think I had two or three people complain to me out of a population of 22,000. And there was some conversations on Facebook saying, oh my God, this is not good. Can you believe they're not working, blah, blah. But now you don't hear anything. It's totally, you know, the whole idea is that change is difficult and but people adapt. You know, it's sort of like me. I mean, here's another analogy, I suppose. During COVID, we couldn't go to a bank, right? So what did we do? Was online banking. I haven't been to a bank, really. I take the back. I've been to a bank once since COVID because I needed cash. I never use cash anymore. I mean, I got maybe 50 bucks in my wallet. I've had the same 50 bucks for like 6 months, you know? So we adapt. And I think that any business, if they want to take advantage of technology, can do so and understand that their customers might be fearful of the change initially, but over time they get used to it. And then all of a sudden everything settles out.
You know, and I think that those are really good points because I think that there's some assumptions as to what the backlash for something like this could be or could look like based off of other stakeholders who may be affected by a change like this, while not understanding or kind of recognizing that this could be something that's good for everyone, both for your employees and for customers, clients, the public, kind of those stakeholders. One thing that you have touched on briefly, but that I'd like to also ask a little more about is, you know, you did have some unionized parts of your workforce who have now, it's my understanding, gone to this 4-day work week. Is that correct?
That's correct. Public Works.
And was the union open to a dialogue on this? I know that, you know, from a bargaining perspective, there likely is going to be give and take. But was this something that you got an immediate shutdown from them and had to negotiate around it? Or was this something that they actually were also interested in?
They were very interested. When they saw that City Hall was doing it, they became very interested and the negotiations were quick and easy. And the conversion was just like that. In fact, the conversion took place before I even recognized it was taking place.
I mean, it's not often that I hear from a leader that union bargaining was quick and easy. So I think that further shows kind of this is a very interesting tool for not just employee engagement purposes and employee satisfaction, but also kind of more generally something that we're seeing both in a unionized setting and in a non-unionized setting, in the private sector, in the public sector, that this is something that truly can work for all organizations and entities, as long as you're thinking creatively about how to move past, how to still accomplish your goal, I guess would be a good way to say it. Would you agree?
I would. And again, if you think about this as being a partnership, you know, again, sometimes in businesses and city government, it's top driven down. You do this. But what we're saying now is that because there's a shortage of workers and because the workplace is totally upside down, it's not like it was, it makes more sense to think of your employees as a partner in terms of the delivery of services or delivery of business. And, you know, having taught for 35 years, one of the ways I always found in terms of students and motivating them is simply make them feel special. You know, talk to them, just say, hey, you're doing a great job or whatever it happens to be. And what I found is that when you do that, oh, geez, I feel pretty good about myself today. And it's the same with employees, is that if you make them feel relevant, if you make them feel part of the equation, if you talk to them, you get far better work out of them. And they're motivated to do well. And benefit employees, like, you know, some of the employees have been there for a while. They're really exceptional in terms of dealing with the public. And they love their community, and they always seem to go beyond what is expected. But now in this new format, you know, they're like floating on air. This is really good.
I love it. And with that, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com. We'll be right back.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
In a recent survey, investors shared what they felt were the greatest threats to their retirement. It's no surprise the most common threats include stock market volatility, economic uncertainty, conflict in the Middle East. Unfortunately, there are many threats beyond your control that can affect your retirement savings. At Goldco, a leader in precious metals, the team believes one way to protect your investment portfolio is with physical gold and silver. Goldco will send you a free 1 ounce silver American Eagle coin, and all you have to do is pay for shipping and handling. No obligation. 100% free. Call 855-971-2006 to get your free silver American Eagle coin.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
With Zillow, you're not just looking for a house. You're looking for the bathroom where you'll give your kids shampoo mohawks. The bonus room you'll turn into a gym and work out in every single day, starting tomorrow. You're looking for hardwood floors worthy of your signature dance move, the glitchy robot.
You're not just looking for a house. You're looking for a place for your life to happen. And whether buying or renting, Zillow makes it easy with simple smart search features, photos, video walkthroughs, and more. Zillow, find your way home.
And we're back. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-law.com. I'm your host, Tani Alvarez, and our guest today is Biddeford, Maine Mayor Alan Cassavant. And today we've been discussing the work that he's done with the city of Biddeford to successfully implement a four-day work week. You know, we've been talking a lot about some of the takeaways, the things that worked for the city of Biddeford, the steps that they took, and then the effect it had, both to attract and to help retain key employees, and just the quality of life that we're hearing from employees as to, how this has changed how they work. Ellen, if you were, you know, to work with another entity and to say, you know, these are the stakeholders and these are the people in your organization outside of human resources who really need to play a role in determining whether or not a four-day work week is going to work for you and whoever your customers, consumers, or public are, who would you want to be kind of at that initial table having those discussions?
It's important to have the visible faces of city government being part of the discussion, the public discussion, because inevitably when you're dealing with a city entity, you can have the greatest idea in the world, but if you can't sell it to the public, it's gone. It blows up. So it's really important to be able to articulate to the public why the four-day work week is important, why it fiscally works, why it works within the workplace, how it improves productivity, why other things like simply giving bonuses or jacking up hourly wages are self-defeating. If you can present all the facts to people in a convincing manner, with all the key players being part of that educational process, it makes things a lot easier and it allows you to cross the finish line and actually get the idea into operation.
I think those are all really important points. And you know, the understanding that you could get pushed back from your finance team and how you're going to explain to finance why this makes fiscal sense in comparison to other ways to potentially move forward. And then how you can help work with your PR, your public relations and marketing team to make sure that they're communicating appropriately to all the stakeholders what this means. All really good and really important points. And I think for our HR leaders who are listening now and who've been with us during the course of this show, they have a number of really good takeaways if they are considering kind of moving to this four-day work week. So, Ellen, thank you so much. And especially, you know, I have to thank you again for sharing some aspects of your secret sauce, because it's not something that everyone would be willing to go into a public forum and share. But I definitely appreciate you making time and appearing as a guest today.
Oh, I'm glad I could be here. And I'll have to come up with another secret sauce, you know, when people adapt to this four-day work week, you know, statewide.
Absolutely. And then we'd love to have you back and steal that secret sauce again. thank you so much. You've been listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, WLOBradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.